You're listening to Bluebird Broadcast. I'm your host, creator, and producer of the show, Milena Karpukhina. Today's story is, as Vince Gatton describes, an unspeakably sorrowful and beautifully written teenage Rashomon with three characters telling their three different truths of a tragic central event, their voices as distinct and unforgettable as their differing accounts. Written by John Mabey, this is Loved. You'll be hearing the voices of Gracie Rittenberg as Riley, Lachlan Kotermas as Benji, and Amanda Stamm as Amber. John Mabey is a nationally certified mental health counselor, performer, author, and playwright. For more about them, visit mabeyplays.com. Make sure you're following Bluebird Theatre Company on social media to keep up with updates on our audio and visual performances. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
I'm not gonna talk about her. People always ask if I was scared. I was terrified. For the first minute, anyway, then nothing.
Almost peaceful.
Almost. That's what I told the cops. It's all over TikTok now, but I found it on YouTube first. They took down the vid later. Had to because of the lawsuit. It was easy to find, just scrolled past all those lame stunts like ice bucket challenge for some charity and that stupid planking challenge on stairs and benches or whatever, but the dead zone challenge was different. Everyone knew what it was, but no one wanted to talk about it, even now, especially now. Benji and me both said no, but she made us do it. Nothing ever scared Amber, and if it did, she never showed it. But I'm not going to talk about her. Benji and me got in this huge fight over the name of the whole thing. But we're always fighting. I think that's what you do when you're in a serious relationship, when you're in love. I said it's called the Dead Zone Challenge because you're supposed to do it between Halloween and Thanksgiving. Like a dead zone between scary stuff and thankful stuff. But he thinks it's because you're almost in a dead zone when you do it. You know, buried alive but still breathing. Benji, Amber, and me got all the supplies at Home Depot. Anyone purchasing shovels, plastic sheeting, and rubber hoses will be denied purchase and reported to the authorities. So we also bought totally random crap too, like dinner placemats and decorative pillows and fake flowers, because it looks totally sus otherwise. The hardest part was digging the hole. It's only a foot down, but so much work. Never looks that hard in movies. I went first, had to, because Benji looked so freaked. His hands always shake when he's scared. After I climbed in the hole, she whispered, "Are you sure, Riley?" Like she knew I was freaked out and wanted to hear me say it. It made me hate her even more. "Can you forgive me for that, too?" The rubber hose was easy to breathe through, but tasted dark. Like something I should never taste. I closed my eyes when they started shoveling the dirt on top of me. The way it sounded, clumping on the plastic, was actually kind of nice. A sound like that scrape when you walk through snow. Muffled, soft, then quiet. Maybe I fell asleep. Next thing I know, it's been 5 minutes and they're pulling me up. Benji was next. Then Amber. I want to know what it was like. I think she wants me to know. When it happened. When she stopped breathing. It was just some tiny pebbles I put inside the rubber hose. Didn't even plan it, not really. But when his back was turned, I just did it, like my hands weren't my own. I wasn't trying to block all the air, just make it harder to breathe. A little joke like she'd do to us. Like when she pretended to have a seizure during ice bucket or pretended to fall during planking. Just a scare. I needed her to be scared for once. That's the only reason I did it, I swear. They keep saying it's not my fault. Our families, the court, even Twitter. But they're wrong. Maybe that's why she visits me. Every night since. Like a dream when you're awake. That swing in my front yard. I hear the ropes twisting. A muffled, soft scrape. And I'll see her out my bedroom window. Not the her I remember. But how she looks now. Ropes twisting over and over. Rotted. What's my penance? What takes this all away? I'm not gonna talk about her.
This is really what you do? Talk about problems? And you went to school for this? Sorry, but tell me how your doing doesn't work on me. Maybe those rejects who actually need therapy will spill their guts. Intelligent people don't fall for that crap. I know why I'm here. Gotta do what the court says, even after mommy pays for all the reno on a new courthouse. Hush, hush, of course. That's why I got you assigned as my therapist. Family looked into who'd be the easiest. That's why you're here. Got nothing to say? That's fine. I can go the entire session being quiet too. What are you making a year? No, tell me. If it's under six figures, it'll just make me sad for you. Like Riley. Sad. All the time. You'd think she'd just be a little bit happy, grateful that we got her off with community service. You should see how everyone feels sorry for her online. Someone even made a fan account on Twitter. I still get all the hate tweets. You wanna know the secret? The internet only loves Riley because she's poor, but doesn't show it. We all hate poor people the most. It's true. The poor people make everyone feel guilty, and the rich make everyone feel jealous. Those are our only crimes. But it's not always a crime when someone dies. Accidents happen all the time. Amber was an accident, in more ways than one. And whatever hold she had on my girl, what are you writing down in your notebook? You know, everything I say in here is private. You're like a priest. Without the fancy robes or the respect, I could literally say anything about what happened that night, and you can't do a thing. Like, maybe I did see Riley gather some pebbles from the ground, and maybe for every pebble Riley put in that hose, I put in a few more when she wasn't looking. Weird that something so small can do so much damage. But I guess an avalanche is just a bunch of tiny snowflakes. Got most of the pebbles out before the cops came. Guess I put in more than I thought. No matter. Riley blames herself, and the more she does, the more she hates Amber too. Grief's tricky, but hate you can mold. Like snow. And I love the winter. Not gonna say a thing. No, how does that make you feel? Or tell me about your childhood. You should be paying me. I actually should get paid for this stuff. Maybe I'll write a book, a tell-all. Oh man, that'll sell. That's how you get everyone to love you again. It would end with the trial. An acquittal. Book stops there. No one cares about the aftermath or whatever. This stuff's boring. Like Riley's depression or my dreams. I mean, they gotta be dreams, right? The dead don't come back. Stop staring at my hands. I always shake when I'm bored. There's a swing in my backyard. It's pretty old. Broken. Never use it anymore. Scrapes against a tree trunk if you do, but I hear it every night, scraping. The first night I looked outside and to see who it was, now I don't even look anymore. Even in daytime, I can't walk past that tree when I go home. Didn't realize time's up. Is it okay if we... Can we just sit? I don't think I can leave yet. I can't. Please don't make me go home.
Love's weird. Not like love itself, but everything around it. I remember when Riley told me. Never forget it, actually. Ruined my favorite jeans that day during poli-sci class. We were paired for this group presentation with a total loser named Benji, who just snuck outside to get high. So we did the whole thing ourselves. It was somewhere between the section on political theory and industrial relations when she blurted it out at me. God, I just love you. Friends say it all the time, even without words. Like the day we ditched and just hung out in the park, staring at the sky while she stared at me. But this was different. It was big and complicated, and I just looked at her. Not because I minded or judged or anything bad. But the quiet overflows with everything we don't say. It's nothing to be ashamed of, how she feels. But Riley was. Ashamed. I could tell by the way her hand shook. My aunt's the same. She lived with her roommate for a few decades and refuses to call her anything else, even though they hold hands and kiss on the lips when it's dark. So it's good when you can just say that stuff out loud, you know? Like Riley did. Except when you're the one saying it. Riley started crying and ran outside. I froze. Was she mad at me? Hate me? Mad that she still loved but now hated me? I guess it all looks the same sometimes. And in that moment, I noticed my pen had leaked all over my jeans, but I couldn't move. Deserved it. I'd give anything for another chance if only she'd let me. And she won't. Doesn't help that she started dating that total loser right after. She's so unhappy, and he makes her feel the worse. I think that's why she dates him. Never even laughs anymore, like she's numb. So I'm always playing pranks and jokes and anything to make her chuckle. There's this challenge I saw online that looked totally scary. I thought maybe that's the thing to make her feel something again. Right before her turn to the ground, I whispered, "Are you sure, Riley? You know, if she loved me." But she only stared back at me, through me. The way she started to look right after dating Benji. So right then, I knew what to do. Drastic? Yes. But she's worth it. And so before I went into the ground, I stuffed some pebbles in the hose. Not a lot. Just enough where I can still breathe and she'll blame him when I get out. Afterwards, she'll be so relieved that I'm okay, dump his ass, and then tell me again that she loves me. And this time I'll say it. I love you too. Not the way she wants to hear it, but in the only way that matters. And everything will be good again. I wonder if it's been 5 minutes yet. Feels like I've been down this pit forever. Like I'm dreaming. I keep imagining myself on its wings, climbing higher and higher towards that sky. Close to those who knew me. And loved.
Thanks again for listening to Loved by John Mabey with Gracie Rittenberg, Lachlan Katermas, and Amanda Stan. If you enjoyed this Bluebird Broadcast audio production, don't forget to rate the show 5 stars. And now, a quick word from some podcasts we recommend.
We have to talk about our show.
Okay.
Who are we? And what do we do?
Ha! I am Martha Madrigal.
And I'm Charles Tyson Jr. We are the hosts of Full Circle,
the podcast.
You are a beautiful white trans woman.
I will take that. Of a certain age. And you are a gorgeous black cis pan man who has shared my life for 10 years.
And we're engaged. I put a ring on it.
Yeah, you did put a ring on it. It's a pretty ring too.
Now we we have a podcast.
Yeah, there's not much we don't talk about here.
It's true. We talk about LGBTQ issues, headlines of the day. We talk about fun things too, like movies and music and television and pop culture.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about what it is to be Black in America and what it is to be trans in America and how those things intersect and collide. And
child, it gets interesting. And you can check us out every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. Because once again, we're Charles Tyson Jr. and Martha Madrigal, and this is Full Circle, the podcast.
Are we done now?
I think so.
Okay.
Do you hate the unrealistic expectations the film industry puts on romance?
But do you love rom-coms featuring the unrealistic expectations the film industry puts on romance?
Then Shenanigans Ensue is the podcast for you.
Hi, I'm Jasmine.
And I'm Jane.
And we're two friends with a conditional love for romantic comedies.
And we want to welcome you to our brand new podcast,
Shenanigans Ensue.
Join us every other Wednesday as we explore some of the genre's most loved,
or sometimes least loved,
movies.
We'll give you our unsolicited opinion on every trope,
caper,
and flim-flam the film used and maybe abused.
And of course,
the shenanigans!
This has been Milena Karpuchina with Bluebird Theatre Company, and we'll see you next time with another release of Bluebird Broadcast.